Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for joining us today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us to begin with in the Word of God in the book of Ephesians, Ephesians chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand, against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one. And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Then looking in the book of Exodus chapter 1, beginning at verse 15. Then the king of Egypt spoke to the Hebrew midwives, of whom the name of one was Shiphrah and the name of the other Puah. And he said, when you do the duties of a midwife for the Hebrew women and see them on the birth stools, if it is a son, then you shall kill him. But if it is a daughter, then she shall live. But the midwives feared God and did not do as the king of Egypt commanded them, but saved the male children alive. So the king of Egypt called for the midwives and said to them, why have you done this thing and saved the male children alive? And the midwives said to Pharaoh, because the Hebrew women are not like the Egyptian women, for they are lively and give birth before the midwives come to them. Therefore, God dealt well with the midwives, and the people multiplied and grew very mighty. And so it was because the midwives feared God that he provided households for them. So Pharaoh commanded all his people, saying, every son who is born you shall cast into the river, and every daughter you shall save alive. Verses 15 through 22, Exodus chapter 1. Lord, thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. And thank you, Lord, for the fact that you and your word are one. Thank you, Lord Jesus, for being with us and speaking to us as much as we will listen through your word. And Lord, thank you for the fact that you've called us to go into all the world and make disciples of all nations, and you've called us to stand boldly for life as well. Father, fill us afresh with your Holy Spirit, who is life, and set us on fire with the Spirit of grace and life. Help us to be bold witnesses for your kingdom, bold witnesses for the gospel, and bold witnesses for life everywhere we go. We thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thank you for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac Jackson is our producer. He's going to lead us in prayer at this time.
Heavenly Father, thank you so much for these moments. And Father, thank you so much for this broadcast. Thank you so much for your work in this. And thank you so much for your presence. Father, also, I just want to thank you for preparing us and for trusting us with so many things. Father, help us to understand more of what it means to walk under your authority, to walk in stewardship with what you have given us. Father, I ask that you'd call us to do greater things with what you've given us, that we'd be better stewards. And Father, thank you so much for your grace and for your mercy and for your patience with us. Father, don't let us stop growing, but always keep us bearing more and more fruit. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And thank you again for being a part of our listening family. We've been sharing about our upcoming Ten Commandments project, specifically the Ten Commandments Speech Challenge. Now, once again, the Ten Commandments Project is actually an ongoing youth discipleship project throughout the year, whereby with one aspect of the project, if a young person simply memorizes the Ten Commandments and recites them to dad or mom or maybe to a youth pastor or another individual, what we simply need from that adult is a phone call with that child's, that young person's size and the mailing address. And of course, we can have it mailed to you so you can present it to them. Or if you want to have it sent directly to them, either way works. But our goal is to help plant the powerful Word of God in the hearts of our children. Specifically, the speech challenge is coming up. It's going to take place during the month of June, from June 1st to the 30th. During that period of time, we're inviting young people to take the very first commandment, "You shall have no other gods before me," and provide a speech from 3 to 5 minutes, recommended time, videotape it, and have it sent to us. My email is, in fact, I'm going to give you a couple different ones, joseph@afr.net or jparker@afa.net. Either one works. Send it to us. And each person that participates in the speech challenge will get a Ten Commandments t-shirt, and also we'll get a bookmark and a link. Well, actually, it's like an electronic coupon for our resource bookstore. So we're encouraging as many young folks as would consider getting involved to get involved. And parents, if you want to help and encourage your children or grandchildren or young people that you know to get involved, we certainly hope that you'll consider doing just that. Today, we're specifically looking at the topic, get into the game, boldly stand for life. And if you listen to the broadcast on a regular basis, you're aware of the fact that, amongst other things, by the grace of the Lord, I have the privilege of hosting this broadcast. I pastor church, Ebenezer Church in Benton, Mississippi. But also, I serve as the chairman of the board of the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center, a mobile medical pregnancy clinic that works in the Mississippi Delta. And I've had the privilege of being involved with the cause of standing for life for probably a little over 30 years now. But you know, one of the great challenges is for us as believers to decide that we're going to seek to get God's heart and get God's direction about what He'd have each of us individually to do and what He'd have us as local church families as well to do. Remember, sadly, in our nation, it's still legal to take the life of an unborn child. Although God told us many, many, many years ago through the Ten Commandments, "You shall not murder." That's very clear and forthright. And sadly, whether people understand it or not, abortion is simply a form of murder. And specifically, it's a form of first-degree murder. And for those persons that say, "Well, that's a harsh way to put it," you know, sometimes the truth sounds harsh. But the fact is, and sometimes the truth may seem to hurt, but the reality is the truth is the truth. Sadly, abortion is first-degree murder. Now, the Bible does tell us in 1 John chapter 1, verse 9, it says, "If we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness." So, yes, God will, if we'll simply confess that sin, repent of it, ask God to forgive us, He will do it. But we do have our part to play as well. But God doesn't want people to be killing His babies, because God realizes very clearly every one of them, first and foremost, belong to Him. So we as believers, our job is to seek to discern God's heart for us individually, to know what He'd have each one of us to do in getting involved with this very important cause of standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Thank you, Lord, for every person listening at this time and that will be listening. Thank you for your hand of grace upon each and every one of their lives. Father, anoint the minds, ears, heart, and understanding of each and every one of us with a much, 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 much greater anointing that was already set to be upon it, so that we will be fully and abundantly receptive to your word, your will, and your spirit. Do a perfect work in our hearts and help us to discern clearly what you'd have us to do individually and collectively to help stand for life. Help us to know, Lord, that you didn't call any one of us to sit on the sidelines, but you call all of your children to be out on the field, to be a part of the team, the winning team, as we simply hear your word and obey your word. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Thanks again for listening to the Hour of Intercession. Isaac, I'm going to ask you if you would pray again specifically for listeners. And, you know, let me just mention this too. There's such a need for believers to really understand that God has a big heart for all of his babies. And sadly, there are too many in our culture, even believers, that are much too laid back about the fact that in our culture, it's legal to murder children. And so would you pray for people to really have ears to hear all God wants to say to them through the broadcast today?
Absolutely, Pastor Joseph. Heavenly Father, we come to you yearning for more of your character. Father, I know that you see this pain more than we could ever see it. I know that you have a greater desire for life than we could ever know. Father, I know that Jesus went through the cross for life. And so, Father, I ask that you'd bring just a fraction of that to our hearts, to our awareness, to our attention. Would you let us see more of the sins that we're committing against something that you made to be so good? Father, we want to know more of your kingdom, know more of your goodness. And Father, because you have loved us so well, help us to love in return. Father, I know that you've made all babies with a plan, with a life. Father, I know that you desire good things for us, and I know that you've placed us as stewards over these things, and Father, how we have failed in being good stewards. So Father, thank you for the grace and for the mercy that you have, for saying that you'll give us forgiveness if we come to you and just seek your kingdom first. And so Father, that's what we want to do right now. Would you help us and all of our listeners seek your kingdom first in these moments? Thank you so much, Father. In your holy name, amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Isaac. And to all of our listeners, again, want to remind you too, as we often do, when we share an article that I've had the privilege of writing to place on the AFA stand, when we share them with you, our listeners, one of our goals is that you'll email us to get a copy of it so that you'll have it as a tool for your own spiritual growth and discipleship, but also as a tool that you can use in discipling your family and helping them to grow in their understanding of a given topic. But also our encouragement is that you will forward every article we send to you to any and all the Lord puts it on your heart to share it with. Share it with possibly fellow church members, fellow family members, and people on the job, saved and unsaved persons. But share it with any and all that you're impressed with the Lord to share with. And so we do appreciate you being a part of our listening family and listening and learning from what we share. I'm going to take time now to share from Exodus chapter 20, verses 1 to 17. And God spoke all these words, saying, I am the Lord your God who brought you out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. You shall have no other gods before me. You shall not make for yourself a carved image, any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in the earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. You shall not bow down to them nor serve them, for I, the Lord your God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children to the third and fourth generations of those who hate me, but showing mercy to thousands to those who love me and keep my commandments. You shall not take the name of the Lord your God in vain, for the Lord will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all your work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord your God. In it you shall do no work, you nor your son, nor your daughter, nor your maidservant, nor your female servant, nor your cattle, nor your stranger who is within your gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Therefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Honor your father and your mother, that your days may be long upon the land which the Lord your God is giving you. You shall not murder. You shall not commit adultery. You shall not steal. You shall not bear false witness against your neighbor. You shall not covet. Verses 1 through 17, Exodus chapter 20. We'll be right back.
Feels perfect. Other days it just ain't working. The good, the bad, the right, the wrong, and everything in between. Yo, it's crazy.
amazing. We can turn our heart through the words we say. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life. Other days my thoughts just fall apart. I do, I don't, I will, I won't. It's like I'm drowning in the deep. Well, it's crazy to imagine words from my lips as the arms of compassion. Mountains crumble with every syllable. Hope can live or die. So speak life.
Music of Toby Mac with Speak Life. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking at the topic today, getting into the game, boldly stand for life. Now, it's important. I think it's helpful to make this very clear point that obviously the whole issue of standing for life and against abortion, it's really not a game. In fact, life is not a game. But just for the sake of using the analogy of kind of the game of football, you know, the fact is God desires all of his servants to be out on the field playing the game. In other words, there's really not supposed to be anybody on the bench sitting on the sidelines just watching the others play. God calls all of us to be out on the field. And remember, it's not, you know, we use the word game, but in reality, we know this. Life is not a game. Life is a serious, epic battle that's going on all the time, and it's critical that we understand that the greatest weapon in the universe and in all of life is the Word of God, and we're to put the powerful Word of God to work for us in our lives every single day. So as we encourage you to get into the game, that is, get involved with standing for life, our encouragement is that every person listening will go to God in prayer and say, Lord, show me what you want me to do to help stand for life and to help end abortion. And the fact is, God has so much work to be done, but he's really wanting more of his servants to do what his heart calls them to do. It's not my job to try to tell you or anybody else what exactly they're supposed to be doing from the Lord. Your job is to seek God for yourself and find out what he wants you to do. But God has a lot of work for every single one of us. There's nobody that's to be idle in the kingdom of God. So our encouragement to you is go to God in prayer and ask him, Lord, show me what you want me to do to be a witness for life in our world and in our culture. This article we're about to share now is entitled, God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion. Again, the title, God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion. You can email me at joseph@afr.net to get a copy of this and all those that we'll be sharing today. Again, the title, God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion. In the tragic abortion debate today, with people who say that they love the Lord on both sides of the issue, who is right? In fact, a bigger question is, who decides what is right or wrong? Who decides whether something is good or bad? Who decides what pleases the Lord and what does not please him? Well, the simple answer is God does. God tells us his perspective, his thoughts. He himself tells us what's right and what's wrong. And he tells this, and he tells us these things in his word, the written word of God. So in the present cultural landscape, we can actually determine who is right and who is wrong. We can see who is on the Lord's side and who is not. We do need to be mindful that this is the issue. It's not a matter of who's God siding with. God doesn't take sides. He gives us his word, and if we line up with his word, we end up on the right side of any matter or concern. If we ignore or disregard the word of God and oppose it, we're on the wrong side. So now let's look at what the Word of God has to say about abortion. And of course, abortion is the act of deliberately killing an innocent baby in the womb. It's the taking of the innocent and helpless human life of a baby. In the Word of God, here are some passages from the Bible that give us God's counsel and his perspective, his will concerning life, abortion, and the taking of innocent life. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verses 19 and 20. I call heaven and earth to witness against you today that I have set before you life and death, blessing and curse. Therefore, choose life, that you and your offspring may live, loving the Lord your God, obeying his voice, and holding fast to him, for he is your life and length of days, that you may dwell in the land that the Lord swore to your fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and to Jacob, to give them. Deuteronomy 30, verses 19 through 20. Exodus chapter 20, verse 13 tells us, you shall not murder. Then in the book of Proverbs, Proverbs chapter 24, verses 11 and 12, rescue those who are being taken away to death. Hold back those who are stumbling to the slaughter. If you say, behold, we did not know this. Does not he who weighs the heart perceive it? Does not he who keeps watch over your soul know it? And will he not repay man according to his work? Proverbs 24, again, verses 11 and 12. Then Proverbs chapter 31, verses 8 and 9. Open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth, judge righteously, defend the rights of the poor and needy. Then, continuing further then, in the book of Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 to 5, it tells us, the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, say to the people of Israel, anyone of the people of Israel or of the strangers who sojourn in Israel who gives any of his children to Molech shall surely be put to death. The people of the land shall stone him with stones. I myself will set my face against that man and will cut him off from among his people because he has given one of his children to Molech, to make my sanctuary unclean and to profane my holy name. And if the people of the land do at all close their eyes to that man when he gives one of his children to Molech and do not put him to death, then I will set my face against that man and against his clan and will cut them off from among their people, him and all who follow him in whoring after Molech. Again, Leviticus chapter 20, verses 1 to 5. Then in Deuteronomy chapter 12, verse 31, you shall not worship the Lord your God in that way, for every abominable thing that the Lord hates, they have done for their gods, for they even burn their sons and their daughters in the fire to their gods. Deuteronomy 12, verse 31. Then Ezekiel chapter 16, verses 20 to 21, and you took your sons and your daughters, whom you had borne to me, and these you sacrificed to them to be devoured. Were your whoring so small a matter that you slaughtered my children and delivered them up as an offering by fire to them? Again, Ezekiel 16, verses 20 to 21. In the book of Psalms, Psalm 106, verses 37 and 38, they sacrificed their sons and their daughters to the demons. They poured out innocent blood, the blood of their sons and daughters, whom they sacrificed to the idols of Canaan, and the land was polluted with blood. Again, Psalm 106, verses 37 through 38. Jeremiah chapter 32, verse 35. They built the high places of Baal in the valley of the son of Hinnom to offer up their sons and daughters to Molech. Though I did not command them, nor did it enter into my mind that they should do this abomination to cause Judah to sin. Jeremiah 32, verse 35. 1 John chapter 1, verse 9 says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. In Exodus chapter 1, verses 15 to 22, and in Matthew chapter 2, verses 16 through 18, God's word tells of two governmental leaders, two kings who for sad, cruel, and selfish reasons gave orders to slaughter innocent little boys. By their power and authority, their orders were carried out. Tragically, we still have governmental leaders who continue to approve of killing innocent babies in the womb. This is not an exhaustive list. This was not an exhaustive listing of scriptures that speak to the issue of life, standing up for life and standing against abortion. These are just a few, but there are enough to help you see what God clearly thinks about the issues concerning life. What should be our response to what the Word of God has to say about these issues? A wise and correct response on the part of believers and the church is that we passionately get involved in aggressively standing for life. In Luke chapter 10, in the parable of the Good Samaritan, this parable speaks of three people of quote-unquote faith who found the man in great trouble and distress who'd been beat up and left on the side of the road for dead. Two of the three passed by on the other side of the road after seeing the man who was very injured and badly wounded. Sadly, they did nothing to help the man in need. Yet the Samaritan, when he saw the man in need, he had compassion on him. The Samaritan went through great lengths to help the injured man. He used his time, energy, and money to really assist the person in need. The Lord Jesus, after sharing the parable, gave a command. After his listeners heard Christ's share of how the Samaritan sacrificially gave himself to help the person in need, Christ commanded the listeners with these words, "Go and do likewise." In other words, go and do like the Samaritan and give yourself sacrificially to help persons in need. Babies in the womb of their mothers today have too often been the quote-unquote man on the side of the road. Too often the world has beaten up babies, robbed them, and taken their lives. May the church, the body of Christ today, stand up like the Samaritan. May we not pass by on the other side anymore, and may we stop supporting people who say they are believers yet support the killing of innocent babies. Let's rise up and faithfully stand for life and help to end the tragedy of abortion in our culture and in our world. Again, end of that article. Again, the title of the article, God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion. Lord, thank you for the fact that you've given us much counsel, much guidance, much direction, and insight about life and standing for life. And you've called us to stand for life, and you told us in one of the Ten Commandments, you shall not murder. More and more, open our eyes and our hearts to understand this clear and very fundamental truth. Help us to live by it and help us to stand as bold witnesses standing for life and against the tragedy of abortion. Anoint your church with a fresh anointing to be faithful to carry out this work as you would have us to, individually and collectively. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, the title of that article was God's Word Clearly Opposes Abortion. If you'd like to get a copy, simply email me at joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We'll be glad to get it to you. The next article we want to share is entitled Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. Again, the title, Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 9 tells us, "The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it?" Again, Jeremiah 17, 9. I'm going to share some testimonials from women who, by God's grace, were rescued out of the tragic reality of sex trafficking. But let me share some of the testimonials that they share are hard to listen to, but they're real life testimonies of women who, by God's grace, were rescued out of sex trafficking. The first testimonial: "When my trafficker found out that any of his quote unquote girls were pregnant, he would take us outside and beat us with a pipe around our stomach and abdomen until we miscarried. This happened to me 4 times. I never carried a pregnancy to term." The next testimonial: I was trafficked when I was 13 and got pregnant 6 times. I was always taken to a clinic by my trafficker and forced to have an abortion. The next testimonial. Before he started trafficking me, my trafficker took me to a clinic. He pretended to be my uncle and had the doctor administer Depo-Provera to me. I got intermittent Depo-Provera shots from the time I was 13 through the time I was trafficked. That was until age 23. Again, from ages 13 to 23. The next testimonial. My trafficker advertised me as someone who would not be using a condom, and so after a weekend of being sold at upscale hotels, he would force me to take Plan B. I had Plan B so many times that I had gynecological problems for 5 years after I got out. The next testimonial. I was trafficked when I was a child. I had so many abortions and was back out on, quote unquote, on the track. Again, right after, and had so many untreated infections that I developed scar tissue, PID. We'll pick up on the other side. You're listening to the Hour of Intercession. We're sharing from an article entitled Sex Trafficking in the Abortion Industry, Evil Twins. And we're looking today specifically at the topic, Get Into the Game, Boldly Stand for Life. We'll be right back.
It's the song of the redeemed, rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven, drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers, filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory. To the faithful gathered underground.
Music from the Newsboys with He Reigns. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. Today we're looking at the topic, Get Into the Game, Boldly Stand for Life. And we're encouraging every believer to seek God's guidance and direction in prayer to discern exactly what He'd have you to do to get involved with the work of standing for life against the tragedy of abortion. Now, on a pretty regular basis, one of our encouragements to every listener is find out where your local pregnancy clinic is, learn about where they're located, pray daily for them, and prayerfully consider giving financially on a monthly basis to them. Again, I've shared, I don't know how many times, that too often pregnancy clinics are poorly funded, and that should never ever be, in view of the fact that we have so many churches out there. Many times some clinics are out there that are poorly funded when they're surrounded in communities full of churches. Churches shouldn't wait for them to find you and ask you for their assistance. You find them. You as an individual believer, and be involved in helping your church to find them, and prayerfully encourage those in your church leadership. Maybe talk to your pastor about the possibility of your church giving monthly to help support the great work of pregnancy clinics. Your average pregnancy clinic is sharing the gospel and encouraging and counseling women to prayerfully consider to keep their babies or consider placing them for adoption, but encouraging them to never take the life of their precious baby. They provide, often will provide free pregnancy tests, free ultrasounds, free baby items, and so many ways that these wonderful ministries are doing the work of God. They're being the hands and feet of the Lord. So picking up, continuing, looking at the article again. This article is entitled Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry. And we're just going to start once again from the beginning. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? Jeremiah 17:9. We'll pick up close to where we left off there. Another testimonial from a woman who was rescued from sex trafficking. My trafficker advertised me as someone who would not be using a condom. And so after a weekend of being sold at upscale hotels, he would force me to take Plan B. I had Plan B so many times that I had gynecological problems for 5 years after I got out of sex trafficking. The next testimonial, I was trafficked when I was a child. I had so many abortions and was back out on the quote-unquote track again right afterward and had so many untreated infections that I developed scar tissue, PID, and ultimately had to have a hysterectomy. The pain of not being able to have a child now that I am happily married is too great to describe in words. Well, what you've just listened to were real accounts of women who survived sex trafficking and by God's grace made it out, yet experienced forced abortions by their captors. Sadly, this happens too often right here in America, as well as in other nations. Modern-day sex slavery is what sex trafficking is, amongst other things. It's evil, wicked, and devastating in so many ways for the victims. Yet sadly, the tragic and very wicked industry of abortion is an evil twin to sex trafficking. The abortion industry works hand in glove with sex trafficking as one aids and abets the other. Many are the victims of both hideous and dark industries. It's so critical that we, the Church of the Lord Jesus Christ, recognize and passionately mobilize to aggressively work to end both tragic industries. In the Gospel of John, chapter 10, verse 10, we're told, "The thief does not come except to steal and to kill and to destroy. I've come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly." These two industries represent the epitome of what the devil seeks to do to all human beings on this planet. It's true that he seeks to steal from, kill, and destroy all people. The Lord Jesus Christ is the answer to these and all other ills in our world today. And we, the church, are the hands and feet of Jesus in the world. We're called to pray diligently and passionately for the ending of the work of both these dark industries. However, it's so important that we understand that we pray and then we get up and do what we're called to do to help in these tragic works of darkness. In other words, we're to be hearers and doers of the Word of God. Well, where does the church start? Well, a great starting place is you start with prayer and ask the Lord to guide your steps insofar as what He would have you to do. Another important initial step is educating yourself and your church family about these works of darkness that are happening in our culture. Research and find out about ministries that are on the front lines coming against these dark industries. Look at the websites of Christian ministries that are working faithfully to combat sex trafficking. Typically, they're well prepared to educate believers about the dark organizations that are involved with sex trafficking. Pray for these ministries and give to them financially to help them carry out their vital mission. Help to sponsor Bible studies or workshops or events that can serve to educate your church family about these issues. Find out ways to extend the educational reach of these ministries as well. Also, learn more, much more, about so much of what the Ministry of Standing for Life is about as well. There are many great ministries that are doing great things to help for the cause of life. Pregnancy help centers are ministries that provide free help to women who find themselves expecting a baby at a tough time in their lives. Praying for pregnancy centers and giving financially to help them carry out their mission are two great things many believers can do to help. volunteer your time, or help to give baby items such as diapers, baby bottles, baby clothes, etc. to your local pregnancy clinic. You can pray for women who go to abortion clinics that they'll change their minds and choose to keep their babies. Many people would be surprised at the number of women who go to abortion clinics to get abortions, but change their minds and decide not to abort. This is the result of, time and time again, this is the result often of the people of God praying behind the scenes. Believers can volunteer and be trained to be sidewalk advocates who work outside of abortion clinics. The Lord uses people who stand and pray, share pro-life brochures, and who are simply there to help women to choose to keep their babies instead of aborting them. They also very often help women see that choosing to place their baby up for adoption is a very good, noble, and fruitful option instead of abortion. There are many other great ministries that help to address many sides of the pro-life cause. Prayerfully decide to get involved where the Lord wants you to get involved. Whatever you do, don't stand on the sidelines. There's too much work to be done for any of us to do that. In the parable of the Good Samaritan, there are three persons who represent the church. They are the priest, the Levite, and the Samaritan. Read Luke 10, verses 25 to 37. In the parable, a traveler has been attacked, beaten up, robbed, and left severely wounded on the side of the road. The priest comes along, sees the wounded man, and passes by on the other side. The Levite, too, comes along and sees the same wounded individual, and he, too, passes by on the other side. Yet the Samaritan comes along and sees the wounded man and reacts very differently. He stops, seeks to nurse the man and his injuries, and helps him to a place where he can receive further help and attention. He also spends money to help see after his needs. The Lord Jesus very specifically told the lawyer and all the rest of us in the church to go and do not as the priest or the Levite. Christ told us to do as the Samaritan did. He told us to sacrificially love our brothers and sisters in need. Brothers and sisters, let us love the Lord enough to do what he says. Again, the title of that article, Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry. Again, Sex Trafficking and the Abortion Industry. If you'd like to get a copy of that article or any of the articles that we've shared today, once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. Now, for time reasons, I just want to share a couple other titles of articles I want to encourage you to get copies of as well. There's another article. Again, these are articles that are found on the AFA stand. And if you Google AFA.net, you can pull them up specifically by title. But this next article, again, is entitled Shout from the Rooftops, Abortion Pill Reversal is Here. Now, the reality is, you know, the majority of abortions in our culture today are chemical abortions. Yet sadly, there's a lot about this reality that lots of believers, pastors, and lay people just don't know. Again, it's very important for believers to educate themselves about so many of these related issues. Well, chemical abortion, again, is the most prominent form of abortion in our culture, but lots of believers have never heard about abortion pill reversal. In other words, once a woman has taken the first pill, if she changes her mind, and actually it's very common that after a woman takes the first abortion pill, that often she'll have regrets and think to herself, man, hey, if there's a way, I'd like to save my baby. Well, there is a way. Abortion pill reversal is here. Keep in mind, the hotline is administered by Heartbeat International, and we would encourage every single listener to go to Heartbeat International's website and find out the hotline and be able to share it with, keep it on your own person, in your own possession, but be able to share it with others, because God can use you to save many babies through the abortion pill reversal operation that's going on today. So again, it's very much available, and we'd encourage every believer to educate yourself about this and other related issues with regards to the life concern in our world. Well, as we normally do before we end the broadcast, if you are listening today and you've never given your heart to Jesus Christ, today is a good day, a wonderful day to confess your sin, ask Him to forgive you, and ask Him to come into your heart to be your Lord and Savior. If you'd like to make that step and be saved, would you from your heart pray this prayer with us even now? Lord Jesus, thank you for loving me so much. You came into this world a long time ago. You lived. You died on the cross to pay for all my sins. 3 days later, you rose up from the dead so that I could be saved. Lord, I confess, I've sinned and done wrong in many, many ways. Lord, I repent and I turn from all the wrong I've done. Forgive me, Lord, for all the wrong things that I've done. Lord Jesus, come into my heart. Be my Lord and Savior. In your word, you told us, whoever calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Right now, Lord, I'm calling on your name. Lord, save me. Fill me with your Spirit. Help me to read my Bible every day. Help me to pray every day. Help me to obey you and your word every day. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, if you prayed and gave your life to Christ, we're very much wanting to be in touch with you. Let me remind you once again, my email is joseph@afr.net. Again, that's joseph@afr.net. We do want to share with you some literature and resource materials that'll help you to begin to grow up and grow strong. Your brand new walk with the Lord Jesus Christ, please, definitely, please get in touch with us. Again, that number, email again is joseph@afr.net. Again, today we were looking specifically at the topic, get into the game, boldly stand for life. Again, we're encouraging you, pray and ask the Lord to guide you insofar as how He'd have you get involved with the cause of standing for life and against abortion. And finally, then, let me remind you once again, if you'd like more information about the pregnancy ministry that we lead, the website is deltapchc.org. The title, the Pregnancy Care and Hope Center Ministry. But the website again is deltapchc.org. Please pray for us and pray for your local pregnancy ministry. Find out where it is. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.